action. Greetings, my friends. Peace to you and yours. I'm Luke Scott. Welcome to episode 2 of Thought for Food. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you all from the bottom of our hearts here at Hybrid Collective. The first episode is out. It's already over 100 views. This is 2 days later that we're recording this. So thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts for helping us push that and for contributing to this venture success. Let's keep pushing. Just a little note, if you or anyone you know is looking for opportunity to sponsor a venture, maybe just get a little bit more karma in their lives, or do a little advertising on a show, we're trying to make this thing a full-time job. So please hit us up, hybridco@gmail.com, and let's talk. If you got a few dollars to kick and contribute, go to patreon.com/hybridcollective. We truly appreciate it if you would help us out. Today we have the pleasure of being at Breakfast King. We're down here off of Santa Fe, Mississippi, just a few blocks west of Broadway, at Breakfast King. What a fantastic place it is, for sure. What an honor it is to be here. I've been coming to the King now for decades, it seems like. It's a 24-hour diner, so a lot of the boys and I, after hip-hop shows, will come here to decompress a little bit and have ourselves a giant plate of food. This place has that classic 70s diner movie feel, something straight out of a Tarantino flick. Seems like it should be a place that still has a smoking section. I guarantee you it doesn't. It just has that feel. I absolutely love the food and the vibe here. If you like stepping inside a time machine to sit down and have your meal, this is the place to be. Everybody here is so nice. I called here the other day to get permission to shoot here and was lucky enough to speak with the owner, Terry. And he was more than happy to help us use his location for this episode. We couldn't be more grateful. I'm sure this is one of those places where if you took the time out to visit often, they would learn your name and make you a regular, make you feel like home. You're at home every time you venture through their door. It's places like this that kind of bring a certain flair to the community, a certain love to the community. So definitely come check this place out. I hear Denver's losing a lot of its classic diners because of development and shit. So it'd be a shame for you not to be at a place like this before that happened. Anyway, episode 2's conversation finds me joined by the two people I draw a little bit of inspiration off of when it comes to strategy and execution. My man Justin Romero at Bison Satellite, a brand strategy consulting he's been doing for 8 years now. And my man Steven DeLizio, his co-host on that podcast, or their co-host on the podcast, out there doing his thing in the real estate market, making things happen all over the Denver area. Every time the three of us get together and have conversations, it's full of wit and enlightenment, and I'm excited to bring this conversation to you guys. I hope you enjoy. Thank you all for tuning in. Peace and high power to you, my friends. And here's episode 2 of Thought for Food.
Get us started.
I feel like I need a booster seat around you.
On the camera, you all look the same.
I feel like I'm sinking in pretty deep.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm sitting up as tall as my back will allow.
Right now, you actually look taller than they do.
Hell yeah.
It's not as if you're short. Trust me. You're not a short guy.
Boy, I used to be short.
We all used to be short at one point.
Okay, it's going.
I was short.
No. Where are you guys coming from? Work?
Yeah. Oh, well, I was working from home. I was out of class, got the call, and then I headed home, finished up some work, and then headed here.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. You?
Just working at home. What's you doing?
That's the thing. Like, that's where I'm trying to get, is to work from home. I got up this morning, cooked a little breakfast, did a little yoga, got on my 2020 new year, new me shit.
All
right. Got ready for this episode. We've been here for the last hour kicking it.
2020, new year, new you.
New year. I'm on keto.
Wakes up when?
I'm on keto. What?
When do you wake up? When did you wake up?
I woke up today at 9:30. Or like 8:30, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
If that doesn't indicate a new me,
sure.
I don't know
sure.
what does.
Those are rookie
I don't
numbers.
Know what does. All right. So welcome. We're going to jump right in to episode 2. Like I explained to you in the beginning, we are at the iconic Breakfast King. I am with my man Justin Romero.
What up?
And my man Steven Delizio, co-host of the Lone Ranger vs. Tonto podcast.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yep.
Hard-working gentlemen. Like I said, I appreciate you guys because you guys are actual inspirations to me for what I'm trying to do. The whole work-from-home life and make life happen. I mean, you know, I understand it doesn't have to be a glorious living, but it just has to be a sustainable one. Have you guys found that to be something that is, over the course of the time, how has that been? Has it been rough? Has it been something you've expected more out of and only gotten something out of? Or what's it look like?
Well, I don't really live a work-from-home life.
Oh, okay.
I have an office that I'm at probably 5-ish days a week.
Oh, okay. So
and
still,
just like, you know, some circumstances do it. Like, I can work from home when I need to or want to, which is super convenient, but I'm normally in the office every day just to so I can get that focus. It helps me, like, just being around the team, being around the group, focusing, and I couldn't work from home all the time.
No, that makes, sense.
Yeah.
I get distracted a lot, too.
Yeah, at home I'd just be, like, sitting around smoking weed the whole time. I'm working, sending all these messages, like, doing that, but
going down the
office,
YouTube
I can be a little
hole.
Bit more focused, get more coffee in, and, you know, then there's a lot more resources in the office as well, so I appreciate that.
But if you could, if you did get your focus together, like, you do have the opportunity to work fully from home if you wanted to, if that's something that it appealed to you, or you just
sure
don't.
I could if I wanted to,
excellent. What about you?
What about me? What, working from home?
Working from home, working for your own interest.
Oh, you know, this year it's been a decade.
Yes, I did know it's been quite a long time.
It's been a decade
that
this
part
year.
I didn't know. Yeah, for sure.
August.
Yeah, for sure. So is it everything you've expected it to be? Is it been more challenging than it has been fun? Or where you at with that?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You get about as much out of it as you put in.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you want to work, you'll work.
Yeah.
If you don't, you won't. You know?
So the return is based off of how much.
Oh, yeah, for
in.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, let's talk about something. Let's open it up. Anything that's been on your mind as of late? Anything you want to bring to the table? I know a lot of things going. I'm not a real big pop culture kind of guy, so we can't get too deep into
you
that.
You don't want to talk about the Royals leaving?
The Royals?
You guys hear
like
about
Kansas
this?
Like Kansas City Royals?
Yes. No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
The Royal, like the British people. I don't really get into it.
Yeah.
But they make a big stink, I guess, too, of the, like, people.
Don't call
from
them the Royals.
That's
well,
why,
I mean, that's
like,
essentially.
That's not the
I'm an American.
How I
they know royalty
them.
Over here.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
This is how I hear them referred to.
Right.
But, two of them are leaving because one of them, I think, is she's like the daughter of somebody from Germany, some like high ranking person, and then Meghan Merkel, and then she married
Prince, whatever.
They're still Prince. Doing that? Isn't
no,
this
they're out now. They're
like
we're not doing this game. We're moving to Canada,
well, that's what,
and we're out of here. We're not playing your game.
That's
anymore.
What they said.
And
then the Queen was like, and then she came out and was like, okay, that's cool. We'll, like, agree with it, but there's going to be, like, this transitioning period out, you know? But boys, we know what transitioning period means. R.I.P. Princess Di.
Oh, yeah. You think that's where we're going? You think it's all propaganda?
What?
Yeah.
Merkel?
She's going to get Merkled? Yeah.
She's going to get Merkled?
Merkel that chick, what I'll tell you.
Deadpool, the Merkel with the mouth it is. The German ambassador, right? Meghan Merkel, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Is she married to somebody in the royal family?
She's the princess.
Yeah, she's now.
She's Princess Merkel.
Duchess
Princess Merkel.
Essex or Sussex. She's the Duchess of Sussex.
Oh, Sussex. Okay, gotcha.
That's
so
their
not
official
the
titles right
okay,
now.
I got you. I was thinking.
Well, no, the Prince Harry, is that his name?
Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
Prince Harry and are the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Now.
Gotcha.
And then they're leaving that life. I guess transitioning out of that life.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
the
so.
The most pop culture thing I've.
You've looked at recently.
I guess is that
fought a war to avoid this bullshit. Where you're talking about it.
True. I hear you,
but
and that's why I say
country.
Like, and that's why I say like, I'm not big into pop culture. It is interesting. It is interesting. I mean, like, but these are still games that have been played for like centuries now. You know, you marry off one big family to another big family, and you control this section of the world supposedly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it looks
they're
like.
They're gonna start
from
doing that on YouTube, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What, motherfuckers teaming up? Like,
oh, yeah, they're going to start merging channels.
YouTube, what
maybe
is it? Channel clash, yeah, maybe. Monopolizing, like, what, I mean, what two conglomerates on YouTube could possibly, Joe Rogan and who?
I was thinking more that kid, that kid that opens toys. He's the most paid YouTuber in 2019. Some ungodly amount of millions of dollars he was paid, and he opens toys. And then it's videos of him and his dad playing with him.
Have you ever watched all the kids?
You watch the kids.
Hopefully, it's going
people
to
are
his
like,
college.
People put the camera up to their kids, and they're like, "Yo, do a thing." And then right away, the kids start going, "Hi, I'm this," and they start doing their own YouTube channel. It's crazy, but it's those kids that they're doing.
So is this like? I mean, how do you think that came about? Is that just the day and age we live? Like, it's just everybody wants to be. Well, look at us. Right now, everybody wants to be on YouTube. Like,
I tried to tell people about the internet when I was 12, and nobody wanted to pay attention to me. And they were like, "You're nerdy. Shut up, fool. I don't need LimeWire."
I guess.
Like, I was the plug,
was
right?
It BearShare.
You had the plug, and now everybody's online. That's why LimeWire don't exist.
Right.
Y'all destroyed it by getting online with me.
I mean, that wasn't yours. It wasn't yours to own in
Mine,
the first place. No,
dibs.
Wasn't.
I called dibs on it. Like,
but you can't invite them and then get.
Like in like 98, I called dibs on
after. They were just late, and you're pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And then LimeWire got taken away. You had to start paying.
No, y'all ruined the internet by making it a big old thing, and now it's like where everybody lives.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, was going to be the natural progression. Have you seen that movie? What is it, Ready Player One? Do you not think that eventually we can get to a certain place? And I've thought about this a lot too. I'm almost okay with the more digital society because it is going to be like if we're living and we're working online, we're taking up less resources, less planet resources that we have in order to conduct our daily affairs.
That's not true.
I mean, it might be. I mean, you talk about we don't have to drive to work anymore. I think there's
like a back end cost to a lot of this stuff that you have to think about of like how that information is stored. And like the devices that are made, and like the cost of all of those things, and the metals and the different materials inside those devices, are crazy corrosive to the environment. And the way that they're taken out of the earth in countries that we pay barely anything to the people in these dangerous conditions.
Then little kids don't get nothing.
Like there's a back end to like there's I still think that there's like a lot of blood on capitalism because a lot of the stuff will be driven through capitalism.
It will, of
not
course.
Just that.
I just don't know if you can just say it's gonna be easier because it seems easier in front of you.
I know, of course, yeah, absolutely, and it's you know always it seems like we're going to deal with a haves versus have-nots kind of society and deal where there's more water for you. Where if we do imagine a new way of living for us and for enterprise, they are going to be the ones that get the first chunk of it. But at the same time, I mean, would we all be better off? I feel like we could get to the point where we're using recyclables and shit to kind of make up this new, or like all the things that's going to be corrosive. We can make, we got the people smart enough in this world to make things out of things that used to be something. And make it anew. We have plenty of that.
And I think we have the ability. I don't know if we have the willingness to.
Don't make no money.
Because
recycling does not make any money.
Like, that what drives it is the ideas of capitalism and stuff that you can push it that way. And unfortunately, the capitalism that we have now doesn't really restrict upon like forcing them to do stuff like that. Right. And maybe it will someday, but I don't really see it.
Unless they can figure out how to melt down plastic and pull gasoline out of it, you're not making no money doing that.
Can we figure out how to be more conscious consumers and not spending money on these people that are continually wrecking the... there has to be... I'm not of the mindset that there's never anything we can do. I cannot stand that mindset. I always feel like, you know, that's just people overthinking because we've been stuck in a certain way of our life for so long. But what, other than ourselves, what is actually stopping us from doing shit that makes change on a larger scale over decades to come? Other than just the mindset that we can't do it.
We live in...
Many things have been done past that mindset without us having to... fall back to
us
the,
being
the
who?
Victim world.
Like just human beings?
Human beings in general. I don't want to singular.
I think human beings are making more progress than you know, exponentially than we ever have before.
Yes. Yes. So what's to stop us from getting to?
I don't think it is. I don't think anything's stopping us. I think you're just being impatient.
No, but
you gotta let some of them old folk die off.
Yeah, but that was the sentiment a couple seconds or minutes ago, was that, you know, these things are going to be too hard to accomplish. You know, the things that make...
No. The sentiment earlier, I said no to you saying that it would be somehow more efficient for energy if everybody spent their time online. And online takes a lot of power. Everything takes a lot of power. Could you imagine if the entire country was logged into a virtual reality machine?
Sure.
How much power that would be?
Beyonce drops an album, she goes like...
Well, right now, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, right now,
yeah.
Facebook has data centers everywhere, and I remember hearing them that they were going to start building this new data center in Utah, and actually, the homie Josh works there, and he was telling me about it, and he said that it's football fields long of servers.
I've seen those, right?
And that the AC, like the cooling unit in there, has to be like freezing, so everybody has to wear jackets.
Sure.
Everybody wears jackets, and you have to use like a little go-kart to drive to the other side of that shit when wherever you're going.
Sure.
Because it's so big. And that's just for Facebook. Those are pictures, a few videos, and people's text. Imagine replicating a world virtually to everyone.
Okay. I'm imagining it. Let's do it.
With what power?
I get it, but there's also ways to fix the power that we have now. The power grids we know are outdated and useless.
Yeah, in the United States, there's a lot of places that don't even have power.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's
we gotta get them power first.
And or maybe water first.
That sounds like jobs.
Like, for sure. Water, that'd be tight too, before they even get sweet VR boxes on their heads. Maybe they could just imagine themselves drinking clean water.
That would be...
They just see clean water?
It's a placebo effect. Like, we don't need to eat or drink
anymore.
There's a little
mister that kind of mist your face as you drink the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe everybody just drinks Gatorade instead.
What was that movie, Idiocracy?
That's the stuff that plants crazy.
Idiocracy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we bait.
So good.
I don't know. It is hard to imagine the future. I mean, especially, like, we all know that things are changing at a rapid rate. So it is hard to imagine a future much beyond unhealthy lives for a lot of us, because I think you guys have seen how treacherous the climate is getting, how treacherous pollution is getting. I would like to say again that there's things that we could do to kind of curb that. Have you guys
Who's
been
we?
You're right, because it's hard to say that it's on a personal level.
And I think
our carbon footprint is mighty small.
And our ability to change our actions and decisions in order to, like, change those are so minuscule of what it could change. Like, not that people shouldn't, because I think that's, you know, if you tell too many people, like, oh, don't do it just because if it's not going to be effective, then, like, yeah, it's not going to be. But at the same time, I think it's in the interest of a lot of the people who are actually doing most of the damage to continue the storyline of saying, like, you know, just you recycle more. Like, you individually do more, and that's what's going to help. Drive less and carpool with somebody. Like, all that whole narrative just supports them being able to...
continue.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
So, I don't know, like, on one level, yeah, of course try your best to, like, be conscious of where your waste goes and things like that, but also...
Because it does
help.
It's
not going to do too much compared to, like, putting crazy sanctions on these companies to make sure that they pay for the carbon that they're emitting.
I'm always a big proponent of lead by example, and, like, I say that it's not... In the interest of, like, what big corporations are doing, we can, you know, if we are to, in a sense, maybe we're never going to reach them, but if we are all to lead down that direction as a populace, if we can get all our friends together and take packs to be like, look, we're all going to recycle together, and then hopefully people on the top will catch on. I mean, obviously, we live this top-down lifestyle. Everybody thinks it should come from the top down, but maybe we should start trying to make moves from the bottom up. You know what I mean? Maybe if we were to get together with our people and say, like, you know, let's make the change
on our level, even if it is only going to be a small, minute percentage of what brings change, let's try to be the leaders. You know? Could you foresee? I mean, I have a lot of hard-headed friends. I don't know if I could foresee all of them undertaking the initiative with me, you know what I mean?
You know, or like stopping eating meat or something like that, which is, people say it has
I'm not stopping eating
good or bad implications of where it goes with the environment.
But you're right. Like, he's right, because I've seriously considered...
Recycling's harder than stopping eating meat, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have a system in order
to
do it.
You gotta, like, do extra shit for it.
Yeah.
But, actually, as far as I understand it, don't quote me or anything, but as far as I understand it, waste management runs all of their trash through
a separator
that, and I think that they have like a pretty high success rate as far as like recycling.
Okay, that's state
single
in the
stream
union.
Single stream recycling, I think, is what it's called, where you don't have to separate out any of the different pieces, is what you're saying. It just all goes into one thing and they separate it.
That's
I know Boulder does that.
Yeah,
Boulder
takes,
does single
it takes
stream
a
recycling.
Lot of the responsibility off of, you know, our shoulders.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, the problem is it's not really about the recycling, too. It's what you do with the other trash.
Yeah.
Right.
We're at a place of, like, people think you just go dig another hole. Like, you start digging holes and find out we dug a lot of holes already.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trash down there.
Yeah. No, yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about they've excavated civilizations under the ground.
Yeah, and their trash
50,
is...
50, yeah. And their trash, right.
Like... Our trash, though, is going
to
be bad.
We're not ever going to be able to completely reduce waste. That's just impossible. But, yeah, I mean, to imagine that, you know, if we are to go 100 years after this generation or this civilization, or 1,000 years after this generation has gone and passed.
You can give us that long, huh?
At this point, we've been gone for 950 years, but 1,000 years from now, all the sediment's been piled on top of us, and the new human-like settlers come and start digging and find us, they're going to find a mound of trash that's Mount Evans large before they actually get to Justin Romero, where he's buried in the hole.
Hold up. First of all, I ain't no trash boy.
We're all going to be there.
Nah.
We're all going to be there.
No,
right
no, no, no.
Underneath the giant
they're
going to
find me,
Wally-like
and then the trash. I'm
going to
stand on top of it.
Wally like trash mounds everywhere, and then us, the human civilization, buried right under the trash mounds because we just couldn't get our wasteful lives together.
They're gonna excavate that shit, and they're gonna find all kinds of people under there, and then they're gonna find one body up top, and they're gonna be
like,
"Man,
I told you so.
This one looks like he climbed to the top and then just laid down, went to sleep because there was nobody around."
He had a "I told you so" sign on. Like,
looks like they kicked this
in his arm.
Looked like they kicked this asshole out.
Yeah. He was a part of the society.
Everyone was down there. What's this dude doing up all alone? He was kicked out with the "I told you so" sign on his chest.
Be like, we don't, just get out of here. We know we fucked up. Get your
if you don't like it so much,
ass.
Just why don't you go up there and fix it? Everybody
exactly.
Leave it nice
Hello,
and cool. Actually,
I'm just sitting up there by myself all sad.
I need to ask how the burger is to be cooked.
How do you want your burger cooked?
Medium and french fries. And... corned beef hash. How would you like your eggs?
Scrambled.
And white wheat rice, sourdough for your toast?
Sourdough.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
Jenny.
You're welcome. I looked at it and it looked so perfect. I didn't...
you didn't even bother? That's okay. No worries. Yeah, where were we? So we were talking about pollution.
You're going to put her in the virtual reality world too?
Yeah.
You think that she's going to take to it the way you're expecting everybody to run? How come we don't just... let's ask her.
Learning curve, for sure. And it's like you were talking about, there will be...
she doesn't look like the kind of person that'd be interested in that type of thing.
There will be a time where the people who aren't interested in that type of thing are no longer around to have a say-so whether or not they should be interested.
I'll tell you
that
there's always a section of a generation that is not interested in doing what everybody else is doing. So,
but at the
while
same
you can
time,
get the main
at the same time,
to do
like
you
10 years
stop
ago,
progress.
You probably didn't think your grandma wanted an iPhone or a cell phone.
Hold
at
up,
all.
I told all y'all that stuff.
My mom
but
has one
now.
Down
forever.
All people love iPhones. Right? Like,
I know,
they
I'm
love
trying,
them.
Been trying to tell everybody forever. That's so, what my job is.
I hear you, for sure. So, but then, like, so then the logic in that sentiment is it's definitely possible. You could definitely bring Jenny along in something like that. If it provides benefits in which it makes human lives easier.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is that there's going to be a... All I'm saying is there's going to be a section of people that just don't. There's going to be a whole flock of kids right now. Not a lot of them, but there's going to be a flock of them at the very least that choose not to have a cell phone because everybody else around is stuck on theirs.
Because they're trying to stay woke.
Sure, whatever.
Stay woke.
Whatever it is.
I hear you. And
that's where punk comes from.
We don't,
there's an entire genre made after this. Well, you think that's going away now?
Hip hop too. No, it's not, and it won't ever go away. But
exactly,
if you still have a large majority of the pop, if you did get a large majority, so punk, being what it is a shadow culture.
So what's punk in 100 years?
It's they'll still punk,
steampunk,
but
that's what that
I mean,
is.
Yeah, right, steampunk.
That was 100 years ago,
and it will. History repeats
itself. I thought it was like I thought steampunk was like apocalyptic, like future shit goes down, and then like, and then it's like the punks of that. I don't really understand anything about steampunk.
Me
either. Know anything about it beyond like a couple of images I think I've seen.
I have a deck of cards that was steampunk themed.
I think it is just like an image thing. I think it is just
but
like
is it,
the
but is it
gears
like based
and
on the
shit.
Past or the future?
I think it's a little bit of both. Do you know about steampunk at all?
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it?
Like an imaginary Wild West type of scenario.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not based in any reality.
But
so
it is
just like
a Wild
West.
West so
with,
like,
Will Smith and that other old white man.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, what was his name?
Kevin Kline.
That's exactly what it was.
Kevin Kline?
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
I do remember the movie. Didn't watch it.
Straight.
To get involved
it's
in the conversation.
Yeah.
But I recorded a minute ago that $500,000 electric Aston Martin prototype drove by.
That and see, and so that's obviously
pay
we're not
million for an electric Aston Martin
none,
you know, with a 200 mile range.
None of the
Somebody
three
has
of
got
us
a $500,000 to spare.
And I even if I did
or
have
a couple half million
even well,
they,
if I did
they lease
have
those,
a
just
million
so we're clear,
dollars.
They lease those so they're not paying $500,000. They're paying $750 a month because their credit score is freaking 890. But they're paying $750 a month.
Right, I hear
they're not paying.
Just
they're not paying
it.
A million.
Probably more than
but
that,
even
but.
Then, right? Even then, like if I did have a half a million or I did have that kind of money to spend, I would buy a regular roll electric car. You know what I mean? Or give me a Chevy Volt, something that has good mileage that you don't have to spend $500,000 to do.
Would you get a Nissan Leaf though?
I would. At this point, I'm definitely. I mean, my heart. If I'm being honest. I want a Tesla. Eventually, I do want to get me a Tesla because at this point, for affordability and where we're at in the marketplace, that's something a lot of us can't afford. And if you get to that point, me personally, I feel like I've been driving SUV for a long time, and my other car is a four-wheel drive turbo hatchback. So I'm not really being efficient with my own, like what I'm trying to portray as far as what I'm doing with my life. I have no judgment on anybody else and what they want to do. Obviously, I've obtained these cars because I like these cars. And I'm willing to do, you know, what I have to do to get back and forth from work. But I am conscious of it. At some point, I do want to change the small things I could do with my carbon footprint. So I do want a Tesla. So I want to spend $500,000 on it. I'd get myself to a point where I could get a used one at $50,000 and be happy driving that.
They're actually not that expensive.
I mean...
The sedan's like 30.
Yeah.
They start, 33. I think the E-Class or I don't know, is it E-Class?
I haven't been keeping up on them, like, to the T. I know when they first came out, they were all about 50,000.
I think it's a good idea to wait for Teslas, though, anyway.
Yeah.
I've heard, like, people have not a lot of trouble, but they just don't, they still are struggling with production and keeping up with demand. And so
right.
If one of yours breaks, it can sometimes be a wait to get them fixed. And I just, you know. They also just need more models, and I think their production needs to, again, increase, and they'll get better over the years. But, yeah, I think picking up a used one in a couple of years after I'm done with my next vehicle, we'll see where the Tesla market is at that point.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I don't think that's too late. I think that's probably right around the...
Well, and hopefully a lot of, like, you know, in the next couple of years, we'll see more automakers pushing to push EV cars.
What was it? Europe, actually, by the year 2030, wants to go to producing only electric vehicles.
But what companies produce in Europe?
Like,
I guess so. It's like Alfa Romeo, VW.
Right.
That's not that many.
enough of the market that it would make a difference to challenge other markets to do the same. I think it sparked a little bit of that in all markets, because if you see American cars are a lot going now, they're more hybrid. Mm-hmm. America's probably going to be the last one, because we got so many people, like we were talking about capitalism, with their hands in the vehicle marketplace that are their interests rely on selling oil. So that might be the last of the marketplaces to go electric, but they are still there. Most American cars are going hybrid, at least.
I mean, sure, but they got way. They don't even have environmental codes in those places that drill the oil, so you can't say that like we'll be last. But Saudi Arabia is last.
Sure. But what cars are made in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know, but they've got all of them at Dubai.
All
of them. Every car made.
Yeah, but the population isn't enough to make a difference, right? If they all had
Lamborghini. I don't know. They have
Dubai's not producing any cars. Right. They're just using that's where a lot of cars go. So they might put
on. They don't have no carburetors. They don't have anything.
Yeah.
There's no restrictions. Them boys fly down highways at like 200 miles an hour and Lamborghinis and shit. Well, you never go on YouTube? You guys don't spend no time on the good side of YouTube.
I don't spend much time on the YouTubes, boy.
For what? Like, what's the joy in watching somebody else drive?
It's about information. You know what I'm saying? You don't watch the news because you enjoy it. That shit's trash, man.
That's not true. I love it. I'm just kidding. I don't even watch the news anymore.
That's why. Because it's trash.
It is trash. Absolutely.
I want to know what's going on. I got to be informed. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be an informed citizen. I'm trying to vote.
So
you're trying to inform yourself about the small sect of the population of Dubai and their driving habits in the desert.
I think you guys think it's a small sect and you'd be surprised how many of those people there are.
I want to travel the world, which means Dubai is included. I want to see it all. That's how I want to learn it. I don't want to learn it on YouTube. I want to go to Dubai and see it live.
Well, you got to see it on YouTube first.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See it right here. Yeah. Third eye shit. Just keep picturing it over and over again. All right. Eventually, I'm going to be at Dubai. Like, told you so. Then I'm
told you so. I'll be like, nice job.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
Keep it up. Yeah.
Get out there and be somebody.
Yeah. If you wanna be somebody, you wanna go somewhere. Just me on that one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wake up and pay.
Speaking of being woke, I don't think that women are allowed to drive in Dubai.
In Dubai?
How's that make you feel?
As an Arab.
Why do you say that?
It's an Arab country, right?
Because Saudi Arabia is under Arab law.
Dubai isn't in Saudi Arabia. First,
it's right there in the Emirates, United, whatever they call it, which is like it's right next to each other. It's like DC and Baltimore. Okay, the same thing. The same thing.
We got the confirmation. They can actually drive
in Dubai.
All right, the United Arab Emirates.
They can. All right, see. Well, I don't know about those countries. Sorry, they're on the other side of the planet. I'm trying to figure out our own country.
You didn't watch a YouTube video about it?
I just saw a YouTube video of the dudes flying all the time. You were trying to look at a fucking map, though? I did look at a map the other day, man. I spent so much time in, Sudan and, that whole area.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all zoomed in. I'm, going in on Google
on
Street
Google
View.
Maps?
And, I was going
to Google Street
View. I was like, yeah, they got a pizza. And I kept going. Look, Subway. And I went to, I checked the reviews on Subway.
It's
just a bunch of people. Good
Subway's
food.
In Dubai, too.
Huh?
Oh, Subway's in Dubai.
Wait, did
they
you
got
do
Subway
that in
everywhere
Dubai?
There, boy.
I should do that. That sounds like fun.
There are some walk the streets.
You
Dubai
do that kind of sounds like fun.
Google. Oh, it's hard, and you'll learn quick, dude. That there are some companies and some of these corporations that you feel are hella American.
Yeah.
That are literally worldwide.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut,
right.
Subway, KFC, McDonald's,
Starbucks,
and Starbucks for sure. And there's one other one you wouldn't expect, an ice cream shop or something.
TCBY.
It might be TCBY.
Baskin Robbins.
No, it might be TCBY.
Like
something weird. And they're everywhere, dude.
So is that
freaking everywhere?
Is that the new?
Wait, doesn't TCBY stand for something?
Nope.
I think it does.
I think it's done. It's yogurt. At
yeah,
the end.
For sure. But then it's like
the
TCBY.
Country's best yogurt.
Oh, look, the country's best yogurt.
They have an international presence. Maybe not. Maybe their yogurt is this shit. Like,
is
Nepal,
so does that not look like the new colonization?
What
is corporatism? Like companies like that showing
up? Yeah, that's what I was just saying about YouTube. The YouTube channels and stuff. I made it a joke, but yeah, that's what's happening online.
Yeah,
that's what's happening in the world. And it can happen in the world because of online. Sorry, for not clarifying that part.
Okay.
That those corporations can have such a big influence around the world because everybody watches all the entertainment online. People are becoming to be online in a lot of places in the world.
Advertising and shit.
Well, no, the first things they find are all American.
Yeah.
There's a lot of content that gets especially good media, especially all the high production shit. Cool. There's a lot of stuff that goes, is portrayed in the media everywhere else.
Yeah.
So stuff like cheeseburgers or Taco Bell, like those things become
Thank you.
Oh, look, that's what like, and not like Americans, but that's like what the person here does. You know what I mean? Like that's, I can go there and do that too.
Yeah.
It's like Pizza Hut, Subway, boy. Those are the big ones. And KFC, those are the big ones that you don't expect to see everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That does. I mean, I've heard that and I've seen that in.
Maybe this little town with all dirt roads and there's like a college somewhere, like, and some weird college you never even heard of. Look at it, and it looks like an elementary school. And you drive up three, and there's one restaurant and it's Subway.
Right.
Or Pizza Hut. And then Pizza Hut will serve cheeseburgers and shit. It's crazy.
Subway. Yeah. I can see how Subway can get anywhere because, like, their franchise system just is like, buy a Subway, put it wherever you want, and then they just collect their money from it. And if it fails, Subway's like, great, we have literally like a billion around the world, so it doesn't matter. It's your loss. Because, anybody can come and figure out how to buy themselves a Subway franchise, put it wherever they want. And so Subways are literally everywhere because anybody can kind of start up with like 30 G's or something. I don't think it's that much money to get a Subway franchise.
It's the same with like McDonald's or shit, right?
I heard it was a little harder with Mickey's.
I seen that movie with Michael Keaton about about McDonald's, and that's exactly what he was doing from coast to coast, was finding franchisees to buy in, and sooner or later. And I'm wondering what people, when you went to all these other markets and foreign places, we're like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's poison our populace as well with your nasty food.
You think it's poison? No, I think that's a
lot of
an overused statement. That's not very real. Okay. A lot of people eat Subway for you to say that it's poison.
No, but as far as like as far as like the factories that are put together in order to mass produce this stuff that is being sold at places like McDonald's and Subway. Those places are not...
They're inhumane, at the very least.
Sure. Maybe I do use poison in a little derogatory sense, but, not to take away the fact that people are eating food. Is that Greek salad?
Yes,
that looks
nice.
That looks
nice.
Delicious.
All right, are you guys okay for now?
We are absolutely beautiful. Jenny, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So the food's here.
That looked like what I'd give my horse.
You have a horse. That's incredible.
Hell yeah, I got a horse.
Alright, so we are we got the food now. As per usual, what we're going to do about this time of the talk is we're going to give a dedication for the meal, just kind of saying grace. I'll start as per the usual. Today, it was on my mind a lot lately. My father, being a construction worker, used to work in tight crawl spaces and buildings a lot. I want to give love to the people that are out there putting hard work together to build the homes that you live in, to take care of the streets that you drive on, to fix the power lines and the water companies. So this is to all those people that are putting in that extra extensive labor to make sure our lives are comfortable. This meal is for you guys. Thank you.
Oh, I'm next?
Yeah.
I'm going around.
I'm not ready.
I'll make this one easy. I just want to dedicate this one just directly to my parents. They've just been there for me over the last couple of days when I needed them. And, shout out to them. And just a quick shout out also to Rolling Stone magazine for doing some great journalism recently. Just finally somebody putting out some good stuff.
Nice. You have to share that with me. I want to hear what that looks like. I want to see what that looks
right
like.
On.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we sound kind of privileged. So this is to motherfuckers without food.
Okay, cheers to that. I appreciate that too. Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Cheers, gentlemen. Let's raise our glass to everybody we dedicated to. Get some of this in our system. Mm.
People that are struggling.
Let's go in to eat and start eating. That is definitely something that's been on my mind.
What, being privileged?
But is this yours or mine?
That's your Greek salad dressing, I believe. Or maybe it's a soup that goes along with it. I don't know. I've never been to Greece.
To whatever extent we are privileged to wake up every morning and pursue the life that we wish to pursue, we are privileged, sure. But as far as, like, what I was thinking was when you said the people that don't have food, you know, we just lift the camping ban now. And I work in a side of town where, you know, the homeless are kind of everywhere. I've been kind of like listening to the attitudes of people and their feelings and their reflections on homelessness and the lifting of this camping ban. And it's hard to take because a lot of them are really upset by it. You know, it's like, it's not like we improve the homeless situation by lifting the camping ban on them. Why are we taking still a derogatory attitude towards these people in their lives just because they can now not get kicked out of...
They actually can't.
Yeah,
They're still enforcing it. No.
What do you mean?
As of, like, Monday.
No, what do you mean? They went back to it?
Yeah, the city of Denver says they're enforcing it.
Really? I thought they ruled it unconstitutional.
It's
unconstitutional.
Rat infestation is what they called it for. Kicked everybody out anyway.
But that's a different thing. That's something that'll still... I did see that.
They closed that little park.
You think that's not propaganda? That's not propaganda?
What?
This rat infestation? You think there was actually a rat infestation?
No.
That's not the only spot.
No, and I believe... So, again, just only the way that I understand it. They just found a way around it.
Per the usual. I don't think that's still. I don't.
Hold on, you
gotta
update. Give me the quick and short.
I don't know.
I
have no idea. I didn't read into it that far. I just saw.
Shut down.
I just saw that the city of Denver announced on. I think it was Monday, that they were, regardless of what anybody said, they were enforcing the camping ban. And that they couldn't not enforce it. There was too many complaints. There was too many. There was like an uproar from the people who have money now that live in Five Points. That's not Five Points no more.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I mean, but uproar all you want. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, why is there an uproar? Like
because then white people don't want minorities running around these streets. What?
I get it. But is that sensible for us? Like it's just.
But it
disregard.
I was thinking about this morning. I think it is sensible for them because I don't know. They're scared. I think they're afraid of those people sure. for one reason or another. And there are some points where, like, if I was trying to walk my kid home from school and there were, you know, homeless people or people that are just harassing you for one reason or another, most of them are probably struggling.
It does make you uncomfortable.
But I could see how, like, people would be worried. I think the reason why it's still a problem is because of the propaganda that was pushed for the voting of that bill with the camping ban,
yeah.
The stuff that they were saying, like, you're going to have people sleeping in your front yard and, like,
right.
You know, like, they spent, like, something over $1 million in adversity to that campaign.
No, but in reality, what you ended up getting is because the people that are struggling tend to have a higher chance of beating... or resolving those struggles through drugs. Mm-hmm. And one of the cheapest drugs you can get is heroin.
Things that make you
aggressive. And so just by because of the way the dynamics work, we're not talking stuff about anybody, and I'm not over here blaming anybody for their own conditions here. But the fact of the matter is that when they stopped enforcing the camping ban, there are particular areas where everybody congregated, and in those areas you end up with shit and needles. And I don't mean that, like, I'm not over here talking stuff. I'm just being, and it's like, that's propaganda, but I'm not saying that happens everywhere. That's not on every single corner. That's even probably, not a super hard problem to actually solve if we put our minds together on
right.
it. But in reality, all I'm saying is that to say, like, that it's just propaganda, it's like, well, no, you know what, I have a friend on Facebook, friend, I don't really like this guy, but he's on Facebook, and he lives across the street from one of these things, and he's always posting about it.
Mm-hmm. I've similar thing. Multiple people on my Facebook.
Yeah, and they're always posting about
it. They got big problems.
But I'm talking about like photos and at first I was really annoyed by it, like by the way that they're doing, but you know, I started realizing like I don't agree with you, but I see how you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
By where you live.
I see that perspective.
I can understand why you feel that way. So I'm pretty sure it was all those people that were lying, because they're the ones who got a chance in the first place.
I think there are, and I don't know, I think that those frustrations...
A camping ban isn't the answer, just so we're clear.
But agreed.
Right.
A camping ban, or really, like, removing a camping ban isn't the answer, because I think all of them just kind of dance around the issue of, really, it's an issue of healthcare and treatment for these people, that they need to have a place to go and get some help and be safe, and, like,
right.
Housing is also an issue, huge issue in
huge
Denver.
Huge issue, right.
And these are the problems that need to be focused on and fixed, not, you know, just saying we can and can't in these... certain right. places around town, like.
How do you think that you would try to attack that problem?
I mean, I don't write policy.
But you know, and I've thought about that too. Is like, you know, because we are, you know, as good as we are at thinking up shit, we are short on answers for a lot of these problems that we have, and a lot of them seems like they could be, like you said, easy problems to fix. We get help for people. We open more missions for people to stay at. We allot a territory, in, you know, because a lot of them, their survival hinges on being in the area they are. So they are going to congregate downtown because that's where the population is. That's where they are going to survive the easiest. You know, that's every city. When you want to find the homeless people, you got to go to the downtown area because that's the most populated portion of the city. So. Do we start finding places? I mean, obviously we can't, because these developers in Denver are just buying up every place. But we have to find a place that they can be and they can live. You know, obviously the homeless life is not peaceful. But you know, I wish them peace. I wish them a place in which they can find peace. You know, the people that are out, you know, dealing drugs. Maybe you don't to these people anymore, because you know it's morally. You know, it feels wrong to continue selling drugs to the people on the streets, because they are a problem to the people, to the rest of the populace that live in that area, that work hard and pay a lot of money to.
Wait,
live
are you suggesting that drug dealers stop selling drugs?
Let's find the people that are actually. I mean, because no, I mean, I if you know.
That's your answer. We're gonna holler at all the drug dealers and be like, hey, we're gonna have a drug dealer conference. Thanks for coming, everybody.
We really appreciate seeing you guys here. We use the unionization of the drug dealers of Denver to then, you know, form
expand.
A pact between them and the homeless people to say we will no longer sell drugs to the fiends.
You will have a homeless outrage.
Then the homeless union comes after you.
Yeah, we can start one of those. This is basically, we've got the camping ban lifted. I mean, obviously, that's not going to work. I mean, I would think morally, if I were to undertake a enterprise such as that, I couldn't see myself just continually killing somebody. This is what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, there are people that do that.
Obviously, yeah. It's not going anywhere. This is the drug trade ain't going anywhere.
But it's a personality type. Those are the same type of people that... you know, get power, run governments, and then do funny stuff. Get power in corporations and do funny stuff. Mm-hmm. Have, you know, just a personality type. It's not like those people are going away or some kind of thing. That's a type of human that we're always going to have to deal with. Right now, in this society, they've learned to be the top of the food chain.
Right.
And if you look at history, they've always been the top of the food chain. Right. So what do we do about that, right? Well, let's preach peace and you know, stuff like that. Oh, why can't we just be? Because there's some people that don't feel like that.
Be friends.
Yeah. You know, and you can't like discount those people.
No,
like,
I am, for sure. You're absolutely right. And that's been a hard lesson for me too, is that like, man, why can't everybody just think as peaceful as I can and everything would be great? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I've had to learn that lesson the hard way. It's just not. There's too many things going on. And you know, the balance in one's life, I've seen over and over, once it gets skewed to one side of the spectrum or the other, it kind of stays on that side of the spectrum until some real hard
deep down soul searching goes into play.
And you think it's soul searching or you think it's just perspective?
I think the two are one and the same. I think that once you go soul searching, your perspective changes. I think once you find a reason to go soul searching and you want to start changing your perspective, then you know they are one and the same.
I don't know, dude. I think one of the easiest ways to make somebody change perspective is literally just inviting them to see the other side and them knowing ahead of time what they're doing. So if you try to hit somebody with some, oh, here's the other side of something, they're automatically going to disagree. But if they go in knowing, like, I'm going to go meet this person who I would normally not like, but I'm going to give it a try because blank told me to. Mm-hmm. That is a very effective way of making somebody change perspective. And there's no soul searching there. All it is just they were naive before. They thought those people were, those blanks, whoever they think in their mind is those people, are always, you know, whatever, and enter the stereotype.
Right.
But in reality, when they find out that that's not the truth, then they're open to finding and meeting new people, and all of a sudden they have a life-altering experience.
Why can't that be soul-searching? Why can't that be...
Well, because soul-searching implies that you're going to do it by yourself. It's your soul. Somebody else can't search your soul. Unless it's like Shang Tsung. You're talking about Shang Tsung?
Finish him. I think that in order to get to the point where you're even comfortable with approaching the other, you have to do some soul searching. You have, because you're at that point, your soul is intertwined in a certain mode of thinking. So if you were never to try to break out of that mold, then you're just stuck in the same way. I think it takes some soul searching to say, yeah, why not? Why not give myself a chance to be and understand the other since I've lived this way the whole time?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's always it. So, like, oh, you know what? Il7,
yeah,
did a talk at...
Shout out, Michael.
Shout out, Il7. Did a talk at
TED.
The TED talk, the TEDx talk here,
mm-hmm.
And I saw him there, and his talk was entirely about this session he put together between some kids in the neighborhood and the cops in the neighborhood.
Sure.
I'm gonna bet that those cops didn't do any soul searching. They agreed because they thought it was part of it looks good, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, this and that, and all, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And his point was that once they saw each other, the kids walked in hating police, the police walked in thinking a bunch of kids were a bunch of thugs and nobodies, and within an hour, none of them agreed about anything. They all did a lot of arguing, but like they both started to understand different sides. And when he asked them later on about it, they all had changed their opinions about each other.
I like that.
Well, that's how you do it. So you can't do that to somebody else, like, without, you know, you can't do that remotely. You can't remotely make somebody understand a perspective. And I'll tell you, even if they don't see it, then all the sitting inside and soul searching they do is never going to do anything, because their soul does not even have that as a possibility. You know what I mean?
And who says the soul needs to be aware? Shout out L7 for sure, my bro. Who said you need to be aware of that situation actually happening? Like, yeah, you agreed to do it, and maybe you disagreed because it didn't look good for community efforts. But then, you know, when you actually came together, the moment between that meeting and the time Michael went back, Il7 went back to talk to these people, to talk to everybody about what they had learned, that is, and hence where
I think he did at the beginning and end.
The soul searching.
Like 45 minutes or an hour or two.
But then,
I might be missing the story. Sorry, dude.
There should be more. I think there's still a little bit. What would you say?
You know, at first I was in agreement with you, Luke, where I was like, yeah, they're kind of one and the same. But I think what you're saying there at the end, that I think Justin's experience, the soul searching is going to have to happen afterward.
Right.
Because I think once your perspective is at least open, it doesn't have to change at that point.
It has to be open.
Like, I think you're at least your mind is open to something where you're almost forced to see someone else's perspective in that case, where you come into a meeting and you have your own expectations, right? Like, I have my own expectations to go meet a cop. I definitely have some things going on in my head about that.
Sure.
And I've met some cops and I've had completely different experiences with different cops, and you know, and my perspective changes every time. And I think that real soul searching, you know, comes in where I think you start asking yourself, well, like, why was I thinking that way, or
right.
am I thinking the right way? And I think that's the question. When you can get somebody to like turn that corner of like, am I sure on this?
Right.
That's where that soul search, because that's the question that turns the soul searching on. Right. And like, then it starts to look backward a little bit and be like, well, why do I feel like this about black people? Like, when I've always had that same reaction to them walking down the street next to me or something like that, you know? And so they're not one and the same, but they do go hand in hand, I guess. Like, they, yeah. I think for that experience to really be effective, because
you have to do
those kids can continue to be like jerks, and those cops could continue to be pigs, and like.
Well, I think the point was neither of them were, and they both went in there, assuming that the other person was going to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And they all went in there and found out, oh, these are just kids. Yeah. And, oh, you know what? These are just some dudes.
These are like people. Like, one thing I have to remind myself, too, is that, like, most of the cops that we see and interact with are just people.
Well, I'll tell you, in the hood, though, they're seen as scary. You don't really see them in a positive light all the time. When they're in the hood, when you're there.
I know what you're talking
about. And the cops pull up. It's usually not a good thing that's going on. Cops don't show up when something as good is going on.
Well, and I think
so you have like this sense of authority but you forget
they
they're just
push
dudes.
Their authority in those places. Like where I was in Gainesville, that happened a lot. Like when the cops did come around, it is because there was a problem going on or because they wanted to go like harass some kids. Not like harass them in any kind of physical ways or anything. But just like if they saw a bunch of kids sitting around or
they
got a call, a bunch of kids sitting around, and it didn't matter where, but because it was a bunch of young, you know, young black kids in the South and people don't like that, sitting around, like they're going to come by. And these kids might not be doing anything wrong, but they're scared because I know they have all had experiences
or
might have some kind
it.
Of illegal
yes.
thing on them,
right.
whatever it might be. And so, of course, they're scared. And then the cops posture as well out there.
Yeah.
And not all of them. Because there are cops, like, if you guys remember a couple years ago, that video of some cops playing basketball, and then Shaq went out there and played basketball with their kids.
Right.
That was in Gainesville where I worked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not the same high school kids that I worked with. But we were out there. And so there are good cops out there. But I also was with a cop that came to a huge situation that happened to fight at the school. A bunch of cops came because it was pretty intense.
Pretty brutal.
And one that was, I was trying to get a student back up into class. He's like yelling at him. He's got his dog, like the German Shepherd, like barking at him, yelling, like telling him, like, you need to go fast. He's walking to class, but he was like telling him to run and he wouldn't run.
Yeah.
And then I guess that cop went up there and threw him around the classroom.
Wow.
After I went to my classroom. So they're like, there are good and bad cops out there. But
for sure. All because he felt disrespected or slighted in some sort of way.
Or that he felt that he had the power.
Maybe he's just an asshole.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like, you know, it is obviously on an individual basis. It is not, we do not blanket. I have a lot of respect for law enforcement and for the ones that do it right. Just like in every other facet of society, I have respect for the people that, you know, are doing it the right way. Obviously, there's bad seeds, like we talked about a little bit earlier. It's not the whole thing that's a problem. It's certain factions or certain people in those things that make it look as bad as we perceive it to be, you know. And I think that's great. I also went to a TED event this year, and one of the ladies that I watched, I forget her name, but she was talking about, you know, unlikely allies, is that in order to get through a lot of these problems that we have, we're going to need unlikely allies, which means, you know, in order for like Black Lives Matters to succeed, you're going to need like white people to help be involved and be part of the face. You're going to need whoever, you know what I mean? Or somebody that, you know, doesn't look like Black Lives Matter. Or, you know, in order to get the cops and their thin blue line thing situated, you're going to need people on the opposite side that are willing to say, you know, you are also our brothers and we want you to take care of our community in the protect and serve kind of way, more so. In this strong-arming way that you are currently used to. I mean, we're going to have unlikely allies.
You can't. That's not going to work. You can't tell somebody right away that, like, accuse them of strong-arming people. Because then again, you could be talking to the dude who let me off not too long ago. I've never been let off a ticket. Some boy let me off the other
That's
day.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking.
Oh, yeah, you were there.
I was there. I'm not talking about...
He pulled
about
up on us quick, boy.
He sure did.
He rolled up on us, and he came up. He's like, you know how fast you're going? You got to slow down, bro. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, my bad. I was just trying to, you know what I mean?
We just
hit
missed
that
the light.
Real
we just
quick.
Hit the light.
You know what I'm saying? I was just trying to make it through. He's like, I know what you were doing. He's like, slow down, blah. You're not going to get a ticket. He said that right away. But I think it was just because he just started. If he had to write a ticket, he had to sit there and write all kinds
of
shit on it.
Yeah, the
first
thing in the morning.
He got to pull up his computer. He hasn't even logged in yet.
Yeah. Whatever the case is. I mean, again,
I don't give a fuck why you let me go. He let me go.
He let you go.
And imagine telling that dude 30 seconds later that the way you're acting out here to us minorities is, but you know, it's like, would be like food. I'd literally just let somebody else.
I know,
shut up.
But like that's the justification, and obviously we're not talking about that guy.
I'm just being devil's advocate.
We're talking about the guy that pulls the guy out of the car because he's going 50 and he walks into the car feels threatened.
Yeah,
we're
there's
talking
plenty
about
of them.
That guy. Yeah, we're talking about that guy.
But you think that it's you think it's the cops, like becoming a cop makes them that way, or do you think that that particular position just attracts those type of people?
Both.
Yes.
Because I think not all people going into that position will then become that like those bad people. So I don't think it makes everyone, but I do think it takes certain personality types in, whether they're like that or not,
yes,
and can turn them into that by way of just like wanting to be included into something, wanting to feel like you're a part of something.
Right.
And I think the brotherhood of police attract a lot of people like that because they do have that brotherhood. And
mm-hmm.
I think there's a next tier level of like, I'm sure that there's like, because those cops still have jobs, right? So
right.
they must have some friends that aren't willing to snitch on them, you know? Right.
Yeah, but you think that it's always malicious, or you think that they're just scared?
I think there's times when they're scared.
But again,
there has to be
times of both. And if that's the case, then we have to do a better job at training our police officers to not be scared, because you are the one with the most protection on. Between you and that person that you're pulling over, that you're having an altercation with, more than likely you're going to survive that altercation 9.5 times out of 10, and that other person is not.
Yeah.
You're more prepared for that situation than that person will ever be. What are you so afraid of? I think...
Being shot?
Yeah, they are. I get it. And I get that they're afraid.
The police get shot. It's not like it's just made up on Fox News. They do get shot sometimes.
You. Absolutely. And
I would be mad, make me nervous.
To the police officers that have given their lives out there, rest in peace. Thank you for your service. We do truly appreciate it. For the ones who do the shooting and want, you know, or even the ones who feel like they can be the lead of change. I mean, we need you guys to step up more and more because, you know, obviously we see the way things are and we know that, you know, we can make some changes.
Sure, but what if they don't see it that way?
We need the ones that do.
So then what do we do?
We need the ones that do.
They ain't listening. That ain't gonna work.
Well, I keep hearing a lot about not all cops.
Right.
So there has to be some.
Well, not all people
anything.
I just,
right.
I always,
there
my, that's the way my
but
brain thinks.
That's a real fancy, or not fancy, real common thing you hear from people like Thin Blue Line.
That's because
people.
It's a good argument. And it's hard to, like, what else?
It's,
like,
but here's not my argument, but what I would expect is that if not all cops are bad, that means that some cops are good.
Yeah.
Sure.
But also, in that statement, admits that there are bad cops in there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there are.
But
there's bad
if
everything,
you say
though.
You're a good cop and not one of the bad
there's bad
cops,
doctors.
But you are willing to allow the bad cops to stay as cops.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You
you're
then
part of the
are part are oh, then yeah. the bad cops. And I feel the same way for any kind of service like that. Teachers.
Yeah.
Police.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two main ones I think
yeah,
of
agree,
when I think
agree.
Of, like, being
yeah.
public services. Because, like, if you're complacent with them being bad cops and just
yeah.
saying, like, I don't... And I know that there's lots of stuff in there that I don't understand because I'm not a cop and all this stuff. I get it. But I just don't think you can disagree with the argument of complacency
well,
is just as bad now that we know about it.
But see, every time... I think that's a misconception you have. I don't think people are talking about complacency. If I say... that what about this? I'm not talking, that's not code for let's just be complacent about it. I'm literally asking you a question because that's a real issue. And if you can't solve that, then none of these other things matter. Because there's going to be those people that fight back, and those are the ones who support cops and the cops themselves, right? So if the cops themselves don't understand something, like, about if their perspective is wrong, right? Trying to teach them to be better or expect them to want to change when what they're doing is already right in their own mind.
Yeah.
Right? We have a perspective.
We already acknowledge bad cops because in the statement, not all cops, it acknowledges that
and
both exist. They're the ones acknowledging both exist.
Yes.
So they have to know that there are people
and their
that
argument
are doing
to
bad
that,
things.
Their argument to that,
that
is there's bad people in every position.
Yeah.
There's just bad people out there. So what can you do about that?
You try and make them onto your side of being the good cop. Or
try to make them anything, man. I don't know if you ever met some. You ever met some people in the hood that are just wild?
Yeah.
And you just either got to be cool with the way they are being wild, or you just don't talk to them.
For sure.
Right. But that's right. The
there's
hood,
no changing.
This is a profession.
No, these are people. These are people. I'm talking about the hood because I'm from the hood. That's the people that I know. I'll tell you, when I see those people, they just look like people in the hood who weren't in the hood. But it's the same personality. They just had more money.
I feel you. But this, in my experience as a teacher, I've had to deal with teachers that are racist. And it's not like these people are out here calling kids the N-word. But like, he's not like an abrupt racist, even towards kids, but conversation he has with me. So, I mean, you have to make a choice then as myself. Like, am I a good teacher who wants to stand up against this and have a conversation with him, which is what ended up happening.
Yeah,
but and sometimes people aren't receptive to your conversations. That's my first route. And then at that point, if he wouldn't have been receptive, I would have went above him and been like, look, this is what's going on, and he's a racist teacher, and
but
he's
not
willing to change it.
And it's great. I agree with that, is that we need more people in those instances who are of right mind to make a sound effort in trying to have that conversation with somebody in this day and time. Like, you know, yeah, this is definitely something that we need to put in the past, you know, and the good people need to step up. They need to say something, because a lot of times we bite our tongue. I don't think that's it matters. I think we can no longer bite our tongue in instances in which we're provided an opportunity to step up for justice. We have to take that time. I hate to cut it here because we've been having a great conversation, but work is creeping upon me, and we are now an hour and 8 minutes in, my friends.
Is that right?
I do have to rush off to work, but thank you guys very much for joining me on this conversation. This has been fantastic. Hopefully we can continue the conversation. I'll get you guys on again. We'll continue. This is a fantastic conversation. Comment down below. Obviously, we covered a lot of things today. This was a fantastic conversation. Episode 2, Thought for Food, is in the books. One more time, give it up for Justin Romero. Bites the Satellite. Steve DeLizio doing his real estate thing. And the Lone Rangers versus Tonto podcast, I think, is coming soon. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate y'all.
Peace. Thanks for having us.
Right on. Thank you.
Right on.
Yeah, no doubt. Peace. Lovely.
Sorry for arguing so much.
That's good. That's what this podcast is about, though. I love that. I mean, I always have...